Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. After a long day here at the office covering a Major League Baseball draft, I thought, what better way to end the day than to talk to my best friends and talk about the draft, how well Mississippi State did. There's a lot to this, and there is a lot of confusion. I have done my best to prepare you guys for the draft, explain how it works. We'll go over some of those things again. Because I'm still seeing some stuff in the Facebook groups, and this is where I think you guys can help your fellow Bulldogs. Because there are some people, and some people are willfully ignorant, and some people just don't know. There's a difference, right? So the first thing that I want to make sure we understand is that every player drafted in the first 10 rounds is expected to sign. And there's all this, well, Pico's got another year left. Guys, if he comes back, he will cost himself hundreds of thousands of dollars. You don't have many seniors in college baseball. You just don't. That's just not how it works, because you lose all of your leverage, because you need to be incentivized to turn pro as a junior. And so as a result, that's what happens. When guys are drafted as juniors, they have the ability to return to college. And so teams have to come off the big bucks to get them to forego the rest of their remaining eligibility. If you are a senior, you take what they give you. You have no bargaining power. Like Hunter Hines is a great example. And as I wrote about Jake Mangum, guys, Jake Mangum is a big leaguer now. Jake Mangum signed for $20,000. And there were so many people that said, well, it paid off for Jake to come back. Well, it paid off on the collegiate level because he set the SEC hits record. But he cost himself a lot of money. To that end, and this is the thing that I don't think people fully appreciate. I wrote the Mississippi State history of first-round picks. You know, we've had 20, I guess, and 17 of our 20 have played in the big leagues. Well, there's a reason for that. When a team is invested in you, they're going to move you along the minor league baseball ladder a little quickly. If they're going to go out there and give you millions of dollars, they're going to give you every opportunity to make it. When a team is lightly invested in you, it takes longer. And I think, in hindsight, that's one of the reasons that Jake stayed in the minors so long, is because of the fact there just wasn't much invested in him. From a financial standpoint, there was not a lot of incentive. Because all of a sudden, if he makes the big leagues, and all of a sudden that rookie contract begins to come up for renewal, well, now all of a sudden they've got to pay him. And you've got other people out there that you're invested in that maybe you have to release. The Major League Baseball draft just doesn't follow the chalk like some other programs. And, you know, the draft, as we saw last night with Reggie Willett's son getting drafted, the very first pick in the draft, this is a young man who was projected to go, I don't know, fifth or sixth, certainly in the top 10. So when you go back and look at the bonus pools, and we'll do that now, because I think it's important to kind of, you know, take things in their proper context, right? So let me pull those up. Major League Baseball draft pools. So let's say, for an example, if you're forecasted to go fifth or sixth, that's an important thing to understand because of the fact if you're projected to go fifth or sixth, the money available to you is much, much different than it is with the first pick. So the Nationals had the overall first pick in the draft that had a slot value of $11,075,900. If you are projected to go number five, it's about $3 million less. And so if I'm the Nationals, I can call Willis and say, hey, you're projected to go fifth. That's about an $8 million signing bonus. We'll take you number one right now, if you'll agree, to $9 million signing bonus. That's a win-win for him. And it's a win for the Nationals because they're getting him at less than full slot. So we save $2 million by taking the guy that maybe is the projected number five pick at number one. Then I can use that $2 million to sign other players like Landon Harmon, who went in the third round for about $1 million slot value. Well, the asking price is rumored to be around $2 million. Well, now I can take one of those $2 million that I saved by drafting Willits and give Landon Harmon what he wants to come play pro ball. That's a thing that's important to understand, okay? Everybody needs to understand that aspect of it. All of this is a business. There is a firm bonus pool that you cannot exceed. If you do, you get in a situation like the Mets, Yankees, and Dodgers were this year, where you're picking the last three picks of the draft, and as a result, some of the better talent is not available when you pick. There are consequences for exceeding the bonus pool. It's important to understand. So Hunter Hines drafted in the 10th round, and that's a slot value of over $100,000, that they're probably going to pay him $20,000 and save some money and maybe go get somebody on the back end of this draft that maybe is projected to make about $150,000. Well, now we can give you, you know, maybe $250,000. And so all of that is important to understand. But no, it doesn't matter what the pick is, it matters what the bonus is. So we're going to break down the Mississippi State draft. We're going to cool top 10. We're going to talk about drafting the SEC, and we'll preview another football opponent. We'll call it a day. Sounds like a good show, right? Well, I think so. So let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We absolutely do. I enjoy going to put my feet under their table and let them take care of everything else. Whether it is a lunch date with work colleagues or friends or a night out with family, you can have the adult beverage if you so desire. Full service bar there. But the reason you go there is for the food. Great food at a great price, great atmosphere. It's an ambiance in the place. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Everybody needs more of that. And get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. How great is all of that? Super cool stuff. Super cool stuff. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, let's start with JoJo Parker. Now, JoJo Parker was drafted in the first round. No surprise there. He was projected to be one of the top 10 picks. And let me say this for the record. He gains nothing by coming to college, okay? Nothing. I know some people would say, but Steve, he may be the number one pick. Why would you take that chance? You're getting a slot value of $6.81 million. And so I'm going to sign for, say, $6 million as the number eight pick in the draft. You said, but yeah, the first pick's $11 million. You're going to take that chance? You're going to take that chance of going to college and potentially getting injured, perhaps seriously, and then you're left with nothing? So you go to college to play your way into the first round. So JoJo Parker really gains nothing by coming to college. That's an interesting aspect of all of this. Landon Harmon, of course, goes in the third round to the Nationals. We already talked about the savings the Nationals would have. And guys, I'm going to tell you, the top end of this draft is not great by major league standards. Okay, you knew Cade Anderson from LSU was going to go very high. He goes number three. Probably the best position player in the country is the guy that we hoped to get out of the portal last year, Iva Arquette. He goes number six to the Marlins with a slot value of just over $7 million, the pick right before JoJo Parker. And so you begin to kind of work through that, and you realize, you know, high school shortstops come at a real value, and there were five high school shortstops taken in the first 10 picks of the draft. That's pretty incredible to think about. And one of them was committed to Mississippi State. Now, I've also read some commentary, and I get the frustration and the angst because you want Mississippi State to win big just like I do. And say, hey, why would we go recruit a player that we know is going to go first round? Well, we didn't know that. You got to think, the rules have changed since JoJo and Jacob Parker committed to Mississippi State. They committed to State basically as ninth graders. We had no clue that JoJo Parker was going to be a first-round draft pick. We hoped after he came to college, he would develop into a first-round draft pick. But that actually happened on the high school level. And so you take the chance, you go out there and recruit the best talent that you possibly can and hope you can get those guys to campus. And there were four high school signees that we had that we were very concerned about going in the first three rounds on day one. JoJo, Jacob Parker, Jack Bauer, and Landon Harmon. I said on the jeanspage.com message boards, I ranked them 2 weeks ago. I said, here is the standings, in my opinion, of who has the best chance to come to college. Number one, Jack Bauer. Jack ends up not being drafted. And that's not an indictment on his talent level. It's that he wanted to come to college, so he had an asking price somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 million. So we're talking mid-first-round money for him to forego his college eligibility. And there just weren't teams ready to pay that. And so once those opportunities passed away, he's done. I said the second most likely player to come to college and play ball at Mississippi State is Jacob Parker. Now, part of that is because he was projected to be around the 144th to 150th player in the draft. And so that's going to get you maybe late third, early fourth. And it's going to get you a signing bonus of somewhere around $1 million, more than likely less than $1 million. And I was told he wasn't going to sign for that. He ends up getting drafted 19th round. Guys, he's not going to sign with Diamondbacks, barring something totally unforeseen. It's not going to happen. And I got 2 weeks to make these deals because guys got to get to school if they're not going to sign a pro deal. I felt that Landon Harmon was probably number three on that list, and four was JoJo Parker. So, yes, it went pretty much to script. And I'll be honest with you, I really thought Jacob Parker would be part of a deal with the Blue Jays. Once I saw the Blue Jays take JoJo to number eight, because I had heard that the Mariners and the Nationals both had enough money and enough picks to kind of work a package deal. Didn't work out. But I fully expected that Jacob Parker would go maybe fourth or fifth round to the Blue Jays, and then they could pay his brother maybe under slot a couple mil and pay him over slot a couple mil to get them both. didn't work out that way. And so, again, best case scenario for us among those four was to get two of them. Well, we have two of them, it appears. We also were worried a little bit about Parker Rhodes. This is a guy that really blossomed as a high school senior. We worried a little bit about him. He's here on campus, already enrolled in summer school, already working out with the team. We worried a little bit about Richie Swain. He didn't get drafted. We worried about Peter Mershon. You know, David Mershon, unbeknownst to many of you, turned down $250,000 at a high school to come play baseball at Mississippi State. And then he gets drafted last year and gets about a half million. So he basically doubled his money by coming and playing at Mississippi State for a couple years. Now, firmly, I believe if he'd come back this year, he probably gets more than that. But I don't know his needs, right? And this is a young man that I think really wanted to sign as a draft-eligible sophomore. And we worried a little bit about Peter. And again, Peter's here too. But we worried that maybe somebody would take him, you know, maybe late in the 8, 9, 10 type deal. He wasn't going to sign for $150,000. And he ends up being undrafted. You know, we didn't worry about Charlie Wortham, but Charlie Wortham is a guy that will be a draft pick here in a couple years, 3 years maybe. That's a big deal. And so now kind of going back looking at getting off the signees and looking at the actual Diamond Dogs that, you know, that fought so hard for us last year to get Mississippi State into somewhere of significance. Had some of those guys get drafted too. And I think some of you guys are probably surprised by those. But we talked about Pico in the fourth round to the Yankees. It's a great spot for him. It's a great organization. As you guys know, they develop pitchers at a very high level. Evan Sieri, a lot of people were hoping he would be back. And Evan really got hot for us down the stretch. He had to move into the weekend rotation, right? When Stone pulled out, Evan pushed in. And, you know, Evan, of course, National Pitcher of the Week against Ole Miss, he was perfect for them because of the ride on his fastball, because they're kind of a beer league, upper swinging trajectory type team. But Sieri, signing bonus pick value about $233,000. And because of the fact that he is a junior with a year of leverage, he'll get most of that. In the ninth round, Carson Ligon goes to the Blue Jays. And that's a slot value of $206,000. He won't get anywhere close to that, because he has no leverage. And some people would say, Steve, it's not fair. Well, that's business. You know, Carson could have signed last year for probably more money, but he wanted to come back, refine the game a little bit, work with Parker another year, and had some big moments, had some of the best baseball of his career this year. And he's a guy that had some arm trouble when we got him out of Miami, and it kind of took a while to get him going. And there were some people last year hoping he'd hit the portal. He had a really rough night at LSU, but there were some other ball games that he pitched. He was exceptionally good. We've already discussed Hunter Hines, 10th-round pick. That's a slot value of $193,800. He won't get anywhere close to that. Luke Dotson, of course, hit the portal, signed with Texas. There's no slot value after the 10th round. Most of those guys get $150,000 at least. And the fact that he is a draft-eligible sophomore, I think there's a reasonable chance that he goes back to school and goes to Texas next year, bets on himself, and maybe plays his way into the top 10 rounds. We'll see how that kind of projects. He has leverage. He has the ability to do that. And so he may incentivize the Diamondbacks, who took him at pick 333, to say, hey, I can just go back to school, or you can give me some money. And Arizona, obviously the same team that took Jacob Parker, I'm told they don't have a ton of money to work with, so we'll see here. So Dottie may be at Texas next year. In the 13th round, Nate Williams gets selected. Nate also actually had a year of eligibility left. He's classified as a senior in the eyes of Major League Baseball. But people forget it took him 2 years to recover from Tommy John surgery, so medical year, wasn't going to be a problem to get that for him. And so he has now been drafted by the Cubs in the 13th round. He'll get about $150,000 and he'll get on the pro ball. Very happy for Nate and his family because he had a very, 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 very long recovery. And I don't know that he's fully regained his form. Even though that there were times he was very good for us this year, I think there's probably maybe a little more recovery to do. And I think you'll see him, once he gets into the minors, be the pitcher that we all thought he would be. And then Jacob Pruitt, a little bit of a surprise there. Jacob Pruitt hits the portal, and really there was the possibility of bringing him back. I think encouraging him to get into the portal probably gave him and us a little flexibility. So if he wasn't drafted, he could still go transfer somewhere, or if we needed him, we could bring him back. So he had obviously multiple options to consider. Well, now he's been drafted by the Phillies, and again, he's a junior, so he will sign and probably get more than $150,000, but he'll at least get $150,000. Now, we didn't have a handful of guys that were draft eligible.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Didn't get selected. Aaron Downs, and of course, Aaron, again, there was about a two-week stretch you couldn't pitch to him, but he really struggled with right-hand spin. A great athlete, a guy that loved Mississippi State, had opportunities to leave, elected to stay here, recently engaged. Ben Davis, also recently engaged. And Ben Davis is a guy that let people know that he was coming back to school long before the draft happened. There were some people telling me that he had opportunity to go between fourth and sixth round. But he'll be back. Bradley Lofton, I had some people tell me that somebody may take a late flyer on him or he may be an undrafted free agent. You know, we'll see what happens with him. Bryce Chance, of course, Bryce pulled his name out once he announced. He kind of let people know. And Bryce is probably a guy on the back end of the draft anyway. Gavin Black is a guy that was draft eligible, has not done enough to warrant that. Kevin Minnell, now at Nebraska, hasn't done enough. Reed Stallman, a guy that we were worried a little bit about, and looks like it's going to work out okay. He has a year of eligibility to work with, too. You know, of course, that's the whole thing with that junior college ruling, right? Ross Highfield, of course, transferred to Purdue, also draft eligible, unselected, and then Stone Simmons, unselected. And the thing I think is important, too, it's not just the returning players. And listen, we are thrilled for all these guys, thrilled. And how about this? How about the fact 14 pitchers? 14 pitchers in the Justin Parker era at Mississippi State. We set a school record last year with 8 pitchers drafted. Back-to-back years that our weekend rotation, the full rotation, gets drafted. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. Now, granted, we didn't fetch the same type of money this year, you know, because we had those guys going early. Of course, Durangelo goes in the first round, and, you know, Cal and Nate, I think, what, third-rounders? But back-to-back years, Justin Parker has put the weekend rotation into the pros. And that is something that I think is very significant. I think that is a recruiting piece that you can utilize in the classes ahead. You come here, you got a good chance of playing ball and a good chance of getting to the minors. And so looking at our transfer class, and this is another concern, right? You worry about your current roster. You worry about your signing class. You worry about portal stuff. There's so much to worry about if you're a college baseball coach. Well, you know, Thomas Valinkas was not draft eligible, neither was James Nunley. But Vitus Valinkas is draft eligible. He's good to go. Sean James, not draft eligible, but Aiden Teal was. And Aiden Teal is a guy, obviously, that's got a brother in pro baseball now. In the show, Aiden's a draft-eligible sophomore that plays with his hair on fire, will be your leadoff hitter next year, and I think that's something that maybe has flown under the radar a little bit. That Aiden Teal obviously had a big number, and goes undrafted. I can tell you, once you guys see him play next year, you're going to understand it's going to be one and done in Starkville, Mississippi, because this time next year he's going to be a day one pick. Ryder Woodson, not draft eligible. Maddox Webb, draft eligible. He's fine. Tyler Pitzer, a guy recently made the All-Star game in the Cape. Absolutely lighting it up there. Jackson Logan, not draft eligible. Blake Bevis was draft eligible. And I can share this with you, too. Blake and his dad informed Mississippi State at the time of his commitment that he would not sign a pro contract, that he wanted to play here. He was probably going to be like a $150,000 guy anyway. And so he gets drafted next year. So between the NIL that we can offer him and whatever he signs for next year, it's going to be about the same thing. Kevin Malewski, not draft eligible. William Kirk, not draft eligible. Brendan Sweeney was draft eligible. And we were getting a little chatter that some people may take a flyer on him late just to kind of see what happens. He's a big-bodied, hard-throwing, right-handed relief piece. Goes undrafted. We're in good shape there. Davion Hixon, the one loss that we had, and guys, I can tell you, once all this began to bubble up about him going in the portal and there was all this talk, I spoke to somebody, well, let me be careful how I say this. I spoke to someone incredibly close to Davion Hixon, someone that knows his game and his career very well, and they told me that he was going to sign. Said he may go into portal. He was already in the portal. He may sign a portal deal to give himself some leverage in case he doesn't get what he wants out of the draft, but his intention was to sign all along. That's what happens. And we wish him the best. You can't miss something you never had. Now, Drew Weyers, I got it, was draft eligible. Guy that had really good analytics, but probably another $150,000 guy. Andrew Raymond was not draft eligible. So you had to worry about that. But you navigate through this portal class and only lose one guy? That's impressive. And when you begin to think about the weekend, right, you think about Charlie Foster, you think about Ryan McPherson, you think about all these other portal guys you're bringing in, because you know right now, you know, sure as I'm sitting here, that Thomas Valenkas is probably your Friday night guy. And then you begin to think about Ryan McPherson, you know, a guy that had a really good run at Team USA out in Japan. No one of your weekend guys. You think about William Kirk. He was the guy that was expected to be the Sunday guy at Virginia last year, and he tore his ACL in the fall or in the spring. Either way, he tore it in the offseason. And that's a guy, too, that's got weekend stuff. And you start thinking through that aspect of it. Like Charlie Foster is going to be a dude, too. You lose Hixon, and you hate it because you feel like he could have helped you. But it's not like it cripples us by any stretch of the imagination. You got some guys out there now that have the potential to be first-round talents on the weekend. And listen, I love Pico to death. Pico probably a Saturday guy that was starting on Friday for us, and he went out there and really legitimized himself in the eyes of our fans. So instead of us having maybe a rotation of Saturday guys – last year, going to have a rotation of Friday guys this year. And you start begin to think about what we talked about earlier about how Parker put the whole weekend rotation to pro ball back-to-back years. Probably going to have a good chance to do it again next year. And it may be the most talented group he's had since he's been here or at South Carolina. And then you see South Carolina had some guys that Justin Parker, you know, recruited and developed that also got drafted today. Very important. So it's a great day for Mississippi State. It's a great day for Mississippi State baseball. Brian O'Connor, I'm sure, will sleep a lot better tonight. Of course, you know, Mississippi State was involved with Godbout from Virginia, involved with Arroyo from Virginia. We talked a little bit about that on the jeanspage.com message boards. You don't want to commit those guys before the draft. Because if I commit Chris Arroyo to be my first baseman, and then my number two guy goes and signs with Arkansas, and Arroyo gets drafted, then I'm left with nothing. So you kind of slow play some things, because it doesn't matter when they sign. It's just if they sign and if they report to campus. So there's a little bit of poker playing with all this stuff. You got to be smart in what you do. You think about Godbout. Like if we had committed Godbout, well, that kind of locks us out of the middle infield portal recruiting portion post-draft. Because the guys that we were recruiting would be like, you know what, O'Connor's just going to take his guy, so I'm going to go somewhere else. And then all of a sudden, Godbout gets drafted, and we lose Godbout, our number two and our number three. So now that we can kind of come into focus with some things, and now you got to think, too, with Jacob Parker now apparently coming to school, now you don't go have to take a portal outfielder. I think you're in a much better situation there. You know, so we'll continue to kind of play this thing out. You know, we got our catchers. You know, you probably could use another middle infielder, maybe. You can always use another arm. But those are decisions that Brian O'Connor and the staff have to make now, because now things kind of come into focus. The portal is closed. The draft is over. And so there's not going to be a lot of attrition between now and the fall, right? And so this is where you kind of got to make your final adjustments to your roster as we get ready to enroll for fall classes. But now you know. Now this portal class, I won't say it could have been devastated, but it could have been severely damaged in this draft. I mean, if Aiden Thiel gets drafted, that is a significant development. If Wires gets drafted, that is a significant development. Same with Bevis. But instead, all those guys are now ready to come to campus. And that's an important aspect of this. So when people say, I got people texting me, hey, Steve, do you think we're okay? Are we okay? We're great. You kidding me? We are great. I had a Major League Baseball scout call me earlier, just before I recorded the show, to tell me. I don't think Mississippi State fans understand what a great day you guys had. That's what I'm about to tell them. We went into this whole process thinking we may lose all four of the big four signees, and I hate to even categorize it that way because I don't want it to seem disrespectful to Parker Rhodes and those guys, right? But the four guys that we expected to lose, the guys that were getting all this MLB buzz, looks like we're going to get two of them. We get this number one portal class in the country together, we lose one of them, one guy. And then you get to the end of this thing, not to be forgotten in all this, Noah Sullivan, undrafted. Garrick Frey, undrafted. Now you begin to kind of work this thing together, and you begin to realize that, you know, the core group that's coming back, in addition to a portal class and a really nice signing class, that for the most part kind of stayed intact, probably better than you expected. Yeah, there's reason for optimism if you're a baseball fan of Mississippi State. Very much so. And real quickly here, let's just kind of take a look back here. Just let it sink in like this, okay? Ace Reese led Mississippi State in hitting with a .352 average. He had 21 jacks too. Noah Sullivan hit .345 with 15 jacks. Garrick Frey started almost half the time that those guys did, hit .345 with 8 jacks. Bryce Chance hit .332, 4 jacks, 43 ribbies. That's his contribution. And then there's Gat Sanders, kind of the forgotten man, that hit .317. Guys, you are going to return your top five hitters for average from last year. Even if we didn't have this great portal class, you would say, hey, we've got a pretty strong nucleus of players here. So you begin to think about what this group can be offensively. It's pretty significant. So your five top hitters for average are back. And you've shoring up a weekend rotation through the portal and through some NIL and rev share conversations to get Charlie and and Ryan McPherson back. And then you begin to think about the fact that, you know, Reed Stallman's a guy that struggled a little bit at times last year, but a guy that also hit 11 jacks in a part-time role. A lot of reasons for you to be optimistic about this baseball team. And if you can't be excited after today, I just kind of assume that you don't know a lot about how the draft works. We don't want to go out there and just recruit guys that aren't going to get major league sniffs. Not at this level. You know, I mean, we're going to go out and we're going to lose guys every year. We lost two signees last year. We lost two this year. And so we're out there recruiting guys that are going to get Major League Baseball attention. And Brian O'Connor, as one scout told me after he was hired, he is the toughest sign in college baseball. I said, well, tell me what you mean. He said, we can't sign his kids. When he gets high school guys to commit, they go to school. And I can only begin to imagine, you know, what would have happened maybe with Landon Harmon if Brian O'Connor had a full year to recruit him. All those things are important to understand. So, yeah, if you think Mississippi State baseball isn't prepared to win next year, you're only kidding yourself. And with that in mind, our player of the day is going to be a coach. It's going to be a coach. It's going to be Coach Brian O'Connor. Let's give Blair Chandler a few moments here. Excuse me. Closetheblair.com. It's the only website to know when you are in the need for mortgage help, whether that means refinancing, whether that means buying a new home. Get Blair's 24 years of experience working for you. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. Don't overthink it. It's one of these life hacks they don't tell you. Get a great mortgage loan originator. Get that pre-qualification letter. You'll be glad you did. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Be sure and let Blair know you heard about him on the show. He's a jam band guy. I don't think we should hold that against him. But nevertheless, Blair is who you need. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, look no further than Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Okay. Time for the top 10 list brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com. It's a guitar shop down in Lake Jackson, Texas, owned and operated by some Mississippi State folks. Be sure and check them out today. Make it your guitar shop. Now, they're going to give you some incentive to do business with them. Number one, you should do it because they're a great guitar shop. I got a guitar stand from them. Very proud of it. Very happy with it. If you have a guitar and you don't have a stand, you're doing it wrong. So whether you need a guitar stand, a guitar case, gig bags, accessories, maybe you need a new guitar. Maybe you're looking to upgrade your equipment. You can get acoustic guitars, classical guitars, and electric guitars. You can get beginner guitars and professional grade guitars. Yeah, that's right. Now, promo code BSR. You can use it in person, over the phone, or online. And here's what it gets you. A 10% discount off your purchase price. You get the Ken Folks discount by listening to the show. You get free shipping. You get no sales tax if you live anywhere other than the state of Texas. And in addition to that, they're going to make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. They're helping Mississippi State put more competitive teams on the courts and fields of play. And you can aid in that endeavor by buying guitar equipment at a discount. How cool is that? Wish more businesses felt that way. Be sure and check them out today, KalidoGuitars.com. All right, our final segment of our playing cards, top 10. Of course, I was challenged on this, and somebody kind of mentioned after we had done the kings and queens, hey, Steve, do you think maybe you could do the rest of the playing cards? Well, I'm not going to do all of them in their entirety. We've done aces, kings, queens, and jacks. So now we're going to do the rest of the deck. These are not necessarily in the order that I like the song. It just kind of, I'm going to do it chronologically. Number 10, great track from Aerosmith that I think is probably sometimes a little bit overshadowed by some of their bigger hits. It's a great track called Deuces Are Wild. Because you and I are two of a kind. Yeah, how about that? Number nine, anytime we can work Skinner into the show, it's a great thing, and it's going to be Give Me Three Steps. Everybody knows that song. It's a song that I've done many times at karaoke. You should too. Great story too. Yeah. I mean, we've all cut a rug with our girl named Linda Lou, and if we haven't, we should have. Number eight, a band that maybe you're not quite as familiar with. It's a band that I like a lot. They were almost called Ferrari. That's Mark Ferrari, who was a guitar player in Keel, put together a band called Cold Sweat. And I love that album. I do. I think, you know, it could have been produced a little bit better, but the quality of the songs are phenomenal. And Arnie Logan, who went on to front Lynch Mob, who my oldest son is named after, was the original singer of this band. And George Lynch lured him away with a very classic line that Eddie Trunk told me. He said, George Lynch asked Arnie, he goes, you can be in a band called Ferrari, or you can drive a Ferrari. It's up to you. But Cold Sweat, great track called Four on the Floor. And some of you young bucks will need to know what that means. Four on the Floor, it's about, you know, basically a four-speed transmission. Number seven, it's Motley. Off the Girls, Girls, Girls album. And this is a song that was pretty catchy. It's still pretty catchy. It wasn't a single. It's a little bit of a deeper cut. It's 5 Years Dead from Motley, number seven. Number six, I remember this scene in Point Break, right, when everybody is out there on the beach, they got the fire going, just having a good time. And I don't know if you know the song as well as you should, but it's If Six Was Nine. It's your number six track today. Number five, as we continue our chronological countdown, this is a song that basically put this band in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I don't know if they deserve to be there. I mean, why are the White Stripes in there and Iron Maiden is not? But it's White Stripes' Seven Nation Army. You guys know it. We play it all the time at sporting events. Number four, great band from the late 60s. It's The Byrds, 8 Miles High. That's your number four track. Number three, and anytime that we can work in a guitar hero here on the show, we want to, but it's off the Surfing with the Alien album. It's Joe Satriani's Ice Nine. And, of course, there's a band out there called Ice Nine Kills, and I wonder if they're not paying homage to Joe Sat. Maybe. Number two, Led Zeppelin. Anytime we can get the Let out, man, we need to. This is another one that I don't think maybe gets the appreciation it deserves. It's 10 Years Gone from Led Zeppelin. But number one, and finishing up our segment for the day, but also to our collection of the playing cards, it's Steve Miller Band's The Joker, because some people call me Maurice. Yeah, you know it. Everybody knows that song. And I remember when I was a teenager, like there were a couple of greatest hits albums. Well, I guess a handful you had to have. You had to have the Eagles' greatest hits from 71 to 75. You had to have that one. You had to have Ted Nugent's greatest hits album. And you had to have Steve Miller Band's greatest hits album. You had to have those. I mean, it was like between those three and Frampton Comes Alive, it's basically everybody in my generation had those albums. And I don't know if they just kind of showed up organically. Like one day you're just like looking through your tapes and boom, you got the Steve Miller Band greatest hits. Like it just kind of appeared. You know, maybe somebody left it in your car, you go to a party or whatever, you come home one day, there's an extra CD. I think it's God's way of ensuring that we hear the best music. That's how I feel. You know, I got Frampton Comes Alive on vinyl from way back when. I've got an original pressing that was passed down to me. But The Joker, a song that everybody knows, because, you know, some people call me the Space Cowboy, the Gangster of Love. You know the words. It's a classic song. So thanks, as always, for the suggestion and the challenge. I'm always up for a challenge. And again, I remember Roy Sumonti challenging me on the Thanksgiving thing. And we did it. And it was great. So you never know what's coming your way with a top 10 list. So if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Hit up Roy on X at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. You can find our great list on his Spotify channel under that same handle. And I'm on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. And even if you're not a Spotify person, you can see our list in their entirety on the tweets that Roy puts together. Sometimes we get behind, but we get caught up after a while. But this has been a fun series to do. I look forward to the next one. I have no clue what we're going to do on Wednesday. We'll see. Maybe it's your idea. You know, we'll see. See how things go. Hopefully no great musician dies between now and then. I get kind of tired of doing those. We have to do them, though. We want to pay tribute to those great artists that we lose along the way. And many of you young bucks, I know, like I hear from you regularly that how cool it is to get into the car and mom or dad hears you listening to something from days gone by and they're impressed that you know those songs. I think that's a sign of good parenting too. Yeah. And then my kids, most of them listen to music that maybe I don't, but they have an appreciation, you know, for Queen, Bee Gees and people like that, you know, because we raised them on that stuff. Just this week, I shared with Ian, my youngest son. I love being able to share music with him. I sent him the link to Lemonheads' album, It's a Shame About Ray. Now, that's about 32 years old, and I told him, I said, man, this song was very popular on college rock radio when me and your mom were in college. I think you will enjoy it, because he is kind of an alt guy, right? And so I share that with him. He goes, hey, thanks for the rec. I'll give it a listen. I haven't got his review back yet, but that album, great, great album. And I don't know that many of you young bucks of today even know who the Lemonheads are. They're still out touring, still making music too. And I remember when me and the bride checked into Dixie Landings at Disney World for our honeymoon. She had to go use the restroom, as all women seem to do every time we stop. But she came out of the restroom and she was giggling. And I said, what's so funny? And she said, well, they were playing Here's to You, Mrs. Robinson. Well, my last name is Robertson, but she thought that was kind of funny. Maybe it was, even though the movie The Graduate is not anything that I'd want my wife to partake in. But I think it's important to have a little silliness in life, and we certainly do. But that's your top 10 list, and as always, thanks so much for your support of the top 10 list. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart because they have what we want. They have the things we covet. The Bible tells us not to covet, but let's be honest about it. There's sometimes you see somebody with a very fashionable quarter zip and you think, I wish I had that. Well, you can go get it at Campus Bookmart. Football season's coming up. You need to go ahead and outfit the family. It's going to be hot in the early games. Go ahead and get some t-shirts and start thinking about maybe when things get a little bit cooler. We love that October weather. We love football weather, but you need to be dressed appropriately for football weather. You can get outfitted at Campus Bookmart. All the latest in Mississippi State apparel, merchandise, and everything you need. Gift ideas, everything to detail out your fan cave is available to you at Campus Bookmart. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is not a great shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. Again, that's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's look around the league a little bit too, because I think, again, it's important that we take things in the proper context, right? Because a lot of times you look around and say, well, you know, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. We had seven current players drafted, at least seven 2025 Bulldogs drafted. That's a pretty good number. Not as good as last year, but a pretty good number. So let's look around the league here and see how everybody else did. Because I guarantee you, I went through this stuff all day for 2 days. But, you know, Alabama has four guys drafted. Riley Quick, who was the guy that we thought was going to commit to us in football years ago, and comes back from TJ and his nails. He wins the one game against us in that series. Cade Snell from Alabama, a guy that worked his way up. Was it Auburn? Went to junior college, worked his way up. Drafted in the fifth round. Quick goes in competitive balance pool A, which is basically a first 36 pick in a draft. He's going to make some cheese there. And Cade Snell, Richie Bonomalo Jr., the center fielder. I'm not a big fan, to be honest with you. I admit the guy's got some clutch in him. I'm not a big fan of this little diving step we do, the dancing step to get in the box. I think it's disrespectful of the game, but I'm an old guy. And then Jonathan Stevens, a pitcher. So four players from the University of Alabama drafted. And listen, I think Rob Vaughn's going to do a better job eventually kind of putting this thing together. Arkansas, man what a run for Arkansas with all these pitchers. Crazy, man. Absolutely nuts, man. So let's run it back here. Gage Wood goes in the first round. Wahia Aloy, the shortstop. Many of you will always remember him for going to third instead of turning two against OSU. He goes in pick number 31. That's a good pick, too, for the Orioles. He was projected as a middle first-round type guy. They get him at pick 31. Zach Root, of course, the guy that we chased last year out of East Carolina, elected to go to Arkansas. Ends up being a first-rounder. Pretty much when it's projected. He was ranked 42 by MLB.com, pick number 40. And Charles Davalan. And it's a shame that so many of these guys that played so hard are going to be remembered for things that are a little bit untoward. You know, Charles Davalan is the guy that kind of laid out against LSU to make that play and left, and it bounced off of him, went to the corner, and ended up tying the game. He makes that catch. Arkansas's playing one more game, an elimination game against LSU. But instead, that's his legacy. Unfortunately, that's just kind of how things work. But he goes in competitive balance pool A2, the 41st pick in the draft. Christian Fouch, pitcher from Arkansas, goes in the fifth round to Boston. Boston stacked up some big arms. There's Aiden Jimenez. Goes in the fifth round. Kind of picked a little bit of overvalue there. Landon Beltichese, a guy that transferred from Ohio State to Arkansas. Was a guy expected to be a weekend starter, ended up kind of being a reliever. He goes in the sixth round. Brent Iredale, the third baseman out of Australia. He goes in the seventh. Ben Bibee out of Arkansas goes to the Giants in the eighth. Justin Thomas, an outfielder, goes to Houston in the 11th round. Good player, too. Parker Cole, pitcher, goes in the 16th round to the Brewers, so he'll have a decision to make. You know, the last couple of those guys were taken outside of the 10th round, so, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, with those guys, I guess. But, a lot of Arkansas pitchers go in the draft. Auburn, seven guys drafted too, the same as us. Ike Irish, first rounder, no doubt. And they actually get him a little bit later. And Orioles had a good draft. They had enough picks in the pool to kind of make it interesting. But Ike Irish is going to be a very wealthy young man here in a few days. A slot value of $4.4 million. Eric Snow, the shortstop, goes in the sixth round to the Blue Jays. And then Dylan Watts, a pitcher, also to the Blue Jays in the seventh. Cam Tilley, a guy that we've played multiple times, seventh round to the Mets. Samuel Dutton, the transfer, went in, and they absolutely loved him. Said he was the best teammate. Incredible guy. 10th round pick. So you know he's going to sign too. And then Hayden Murphy in the 15th round, a junior. Be interesting to see what he does. And then Cade Fisher, a junior too. A guy that last year was projected to be the number one player in the portal, and he's picked in the 18th round. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what he does. Probably it'd be good for him to kind of get things going. That just he didn't ask me, but those are my feelings about that. You know, I think that he is probably a guy that needs to get going. So Florida, not a huge draft for Florida, but, you know, maybe not what we'd expect. But, some names that you know, obviously. You know, you go back, Florida State had a great draft. You know, we've played those guys up close and personal. But Colby Shelton goes in the sixth round, shortstop from Florida. Jay Clemente, very talented pitcher there, goes in the seventh to the Marlins. Pierce Coppola, this is a guy that's only pitched about 50 innings in college, and a guy that's had a lot of injuries, but he has first-round stuff. He doesn't have first-round durability, and that's going to be something that we'll see if he can kind of figure out in the minors. Bobby Bozer, a transfer in. It was one of their better hitters. He played third. He's drafted as a shortstop by the A's. Luke Kamen, a catcher in the 14th round, he may have a decision to make. And we can get a little bit lower than that. Birdie Denaza guy that actually slugged against us. See what happens with him. But, yeah, I mean, good draft. But, you know, it's not like those years, you know, when Florida just kind of stacked them up there. Pretty good draft for Georgia, too. A lot of these guys are transfers, and they've kind of become transfer U. JT Quinn from Ole Miss goes in competitive balance pool B to the Orioles at the 69th pick. Brian Curley, a pitcher, and you expect Georgia and Wes Johnson to have pitchers. They do. Curley goes to the Diamondbacks in the third. Leighton Finley to the Red Sox there in the sixth. Slade Alford, former Diamond Dog, in the ninth round. And, you know, it kind of hadn't worked out for him. He did drop some weight this year, but, you know, it's just interesting. You know, what's he going to play? Tyler McLaughlin, their pitcher, to the Mets in the 10th. And then you had a run in the back half of the draft with Zach Harris, Alton Davis the second, Colton Smith. You know, big, big run on Georgia pitchers. And, yeah, so we'll see how, you know, kind of how that kind of plays loose there. Kentucky had some signees drafted, too. We didn't talk so much about high school signees, but yeah, there were a handful of teams. And LSU had a ton of signees drafted. Kentucky only has the one position player, and that's Ethan Walker, the pitcher. And that's a team, too. People forget, like, Nick Mangione last year returned one position player from the team that went to Omaha and still made the tournament. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. And only loses to one pitcher to the draft, but did lose some signees. LSU, you know, nice run for LSU, as you'd expect. But it's interesting, some of these guys, you know, probably cost themselves a little bit of money. Kate Anderson, draft eligible sophomore, $9.5 million slot value. He'll go. Chase Shores, obviously. And I like Chase. I had a chance to meet him and his girlfriend. Really like him a lot. Tough kid, for sure. Anthony Ianson, so that's basically your original starting rotation. Shores ended up going to the bullpen. But Ianson's a guy that we chased last year in the portal and didn't get. He goes to LSU. Going to get a signing bonus of around $900,000. Ethan Frye, outfielder for them, in the third round to the Astros. Daniel Dickinson, a guy that we chased in the portal last year too and ultimately lost to LSU, goes in the sixth round to the Brewers. Jared Jones, a guy that decided to come back last year, drafted in the ninth round this year. And he was a guy that was ranked as the 101st player in the draft, but he goes at pick 263. Jacob Mayers to the Red Sox in the ninth round. Cade Woods, another pitcher, to the Braves in the 10th round. And then Connor Ware, a guy that's a junior. He'll have a decision to make, but could lose all leverage. So, you know, a lot of pieces off that team, very important, not going to be here next year. And that's all very interesting. You know, we Jackson Lovich is a guy, too, that I told you guys I really liked a lot. Jackson absolutely mashed for Missouri with nothing around him. He goes to the Yankees in the 16th round. He's a junior. I expect him to sign. Sam Horn, also a junior, taken in the 17th round by the Dodgers. And I think this is a signability thing with him. I'm not exactly sure that he doesn't have 2 years left because he had the 1 year coming off TJ. So I think he actually has 2 years of leverage. So that's something that we'll kind of look at too as we get a little deeper into this thing next year. I may not do all these alphabetically. We'll see. Mason Morris, third rounder from Ole Miss, goes to the Reds. Luke Hill got it transferred in, obviously, a couple years ago. Came back. Moved from middle infield to third, kind of found a home there, ends up a fourth rounder to Cleveland. Will McCausland also to Cleveland there in the seventh. Riley Maddux in the eighth to the Nationals. Mason Nichols, another pitcher, to the Rays in the ninth round. Connor Spencer in the 12th, the Cubs. Patrick Gailey to the Red Sox at 17. Braden Jones to the Rays at 18. He's a grad player. He's going to go. Sam Tukian to the Angels at 20. Well, you don't hear Hunter Elliott's name. Yeah, and that's interesting, right? And I begin to wonder a little bit about his age. is he beginning to age out a little bit? I don't know. You know, I guess we'll see how that kind of goes. But it's just so interesting, the Hunter Elliott story. And hey, is he back next year? You know, we'll see. But it's interesting to me that he was a guy, obviously, that was draft eligible a couple of years ago. And now here we are. Yeah, we're still here kind of working through all this. Let's take a look at Oklahoma. Oklahoma, several pitchers, including the entire rotation, drafted. You knew Kyson Witherspoon would go in the first. No real surprise there. He goes to the Red Sox at 15. Some people thought he was kind of a fringe top 10 guy. Still gets pretty good money there, over $5 million in slot value. The twin brother, Malachi Witherspoon, in the second round to the Tigers. So the Witherspoon family shouldn't have any worries about Christmas this year. Easton Carmichael, a guy I like a lot, catcher, headed to the Pirates in the third round. And then there's Cade Crosswind, the third pitcher. You know, Malachi didn't pitch against us, so Crosswind pitched. And we ranked him pretty good. They said that he wasn't quite 100%, which is what people usually say. He did kind of find it a little bit down the stretch. There's some truth in that. Jamie Hitt goes in the eighth round to the Padres. Left-handed, they were expecting some big things from. Dylan Tate, a pitcher, to the Dodgers in the 11th. He's a junior. He'll have a decision to make. Dylan Crooks, another guy they expect big things from, but he's done. Eligibility is exhausted. Headed to the Rockies. Brandon Kane. I mean, you run this stuff down here, and we always talk about Skip Johnson being such a great pitching coach. Well, the draft certainly bears that out. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, that's just one of those things you look at. There are some teams and some coaches that develop a pedigree. It's kind of what they're known for. And all of that, I think, is extremely important as you kind of work through what is your identity as a program. Well, I think for Oklahoma, it's pretty safe to say they're always going to be pretty salty when it comes to pitching. And again, you think that's a team, too, that kind of got hot late, but the pitching kind of carried them late. South Carolina with four guys drafted. You knew a couple of them coming in. You knew Ethan Petrie would go. He was an absolute monster a year ago. He goes in the second round of the Nationals. Slot value right at $2 million. Nathan Hall, a guy, it was very difficult to get out. We did a good job against him, but Nathan Hall at one point was one of the best leadoff hitters in his conference. Fifth rounds to the Diamondbacks. Eli Jerzenbeck, pitcher from South Carolina, goes to the Cubs in the 11th, and Matthew Becker, a senior, to the Twins. So four draftees off a team that really struggled to put things together. Look at Tennessee here. You know, and Tennessee had a ton of guys taken on day one. I think you guys that kept up with the draft, you were kind of like me, my goodness. Liam Dole, of course, transferred from Ole Miss, Tennessee. He's a first-rounder. Fifth pick in the draft of the Cardinals. Galvin Killen, another guy that transferred in. Goes to Frisco, 13 pick. Andrew Fisher, guy transferred in from Ole Miss, 20. So three first-rounders in the traditional first round. And then Marcus Phillips in competitive balance pool A at pick number 33 to the Red Sox. And the Red Sox, again, premium pitching in their draft. Texas go get pitcher A.J. Russell in the second. Dean Curley also in the second to Cleveland. Tanner Franklin in competitive balance pool B goes to St. Louis. Another pitcher. Dean Curley was shortstop. Cody Miller, he's East Tennessee State. Nate Snead, a guy they thought big things were going to happen with him. Maybe it didn't go as well as we thought. He ends up being a supplemental pick in the third round. And then Cannon Peoples, a catcher, goes to 17. So, you know, good draft for Tennessee. And it's one of those things you look at and you begin to ask yourself, you know, maybe they underachieved a little bit. You know, it's all said and done. You know, maybe, just maybe, those guys maybe had more talent than the final record showed. They certainly dropped some games early. I just don't think pitching-wise they were quite what they have been. I think everybody kind of sees it for what it is. We talk about Texas, man, and this Texas team I think has a chance to be really good next year. They lose Max Bellew, of course, who was the last Big 12 player of the year that Texas will have now if they're a member of the Southeastern Conference. He goes in competitive balanced Pool B at the 74th pick. He was ranked 34, so it's a value pick for the Rockies. Going to be interesting to kind of see how that plays out. Jared Spencer is a guy that was drafted last year in the middle rounds. Drafted in the middle rounds again, left Indiana State to go to Texas. So ranked as 113th player in the draft, is picked 322. Jalen Flores, shortstop, headed to St. Louis in the 11th round. Rylan Galvin, the catcher, kind of fell a little bit here. Projected to be a guy that maybe goes in the top six rounds or so, ends up going in the 13th. Grayson Sanier, former Ole Miss Rebel, in the 17th round of the Astros. So decent draft for them. They're going to return a lot of pieces. Let's take a look at Texas A&M. Remember, beginning of the year, Jace Laviolette was projected to be the number one pick in the draft. Well, he was the first rounder, but he goes the 27th pick to Cleveland. He even went less than projected. Like, he dropped like a stone this year. Still stays in the first round. A lot of swing and miss concerns with him. Justin Lampkin's the guy that's the Morris Hodges game pitcher. Remember when Hunter Hines got shoved out of College Station? That's the game. Justin Lampkin was a left-hander that was given basically two balls on the inner half to right-handed hitters, and we just didn't have much of a chance. So he goes actually ahead of Ryan Prager. Remember Prager? Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Caden Kent to the Yankees. How about that? Former Mr. Met, Jeff Kent's son, playing for the Yankees. They take him in the third round. Miles Patton, the pitcher, goes to the Red Sox in the 7th round. Caden Wilson in the 9th round, a pitcher, goes to the Marlins. Wyatt Hensler, the third baseman, goes to the Nationals. And then there's Prager in the 9th round. You remember how it all shut last year. If Prager signs with the Angels, Dave Marchand is a Bulldog again this year. But Prager, and again, I was told afterwards that Prager told the Angels not to draft him. They offered him the full slot value plus everything left in the pool. He turns it down. This year, he gets a slot value of $197,000, and of course, he's exhausted his eligibility. I guess he was a red. This isn't right. I think he was draft eligible sophomore last year, I think. But nevertheless, he cost himself a big chunk of change, and he cost us Dave Marchand. Goodness, could have cost us Omaha. Luke Jackson to the Rays in the 11th round. And that's pretty much it. If Shane Tadeo didn't get picked, that's a little bit of a surprise to me there. I thought he was the guy that would get picked. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how things work out there. And then there's Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt had a ton of signees drafted. They always do. They used to. They just would outbid the major leagues to keep them. Difficult to do that nowadays. But Vanderbilt, decent draft. But in the end, despite all of their advantages, same number of players drafted as Mississippi State. J.D. Thompson, you may recall, he's the guy that got ejected at Florida and suspended for having the sticky stuff on his arm, so he didn't pitch against us that year. R.J. Austin, a guy that dropped a little bit. I like R.J. I think that he's a guy that's probably got to calm down a little bit. I think sometimes he runs himself out of plays, trying to do a little bit too much. But he goes in the third round of the Orioles. Cody Bowker, a guy that transferred in there, I believe from Georgetown, if memory serves me correct. He goes in the third round and actually went above projection. Riley Nelson, the first baseman, another transfer of Canadian birth, goes in the 5th round to Cleveland. Sawyer Hawks, pitcher, goes in the 6th round. Then there's Levi Huseman, a pitcher, in the 16th round. Be interesting to see what he does. Jonathan Vastine, kind of a senior saver, but they take him really, really late. I like Jonathan Vastine. I know some people have kind of, spoke poorly of him. I think he's a good ball player. He may not be a great pro player. That guy was a great college player. He really was. So that's your SEC draft. That's it. That's a recap of everybody drafted in the Southeastern Conference that was a player on the roster last year. So you can see we're right there with our contemporaries and better than some other teams. But that's your names, I thought you'd be interested if you didn't keep up with the draft, kind of how it all shook out. All right, let's wrap it up with our opponent preview, brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, without any question, is the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You can Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse through all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, a full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 3 baths, 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. If you're looking to come to town for a ball game weekend, see if you can't get in the Stark Vegas clubhouse. And it's open 365 days a year. So it's not just like somebody's Airbnb and out their house. This is the old converted clubhouse at the old country club out past the Highlands off 182. Very, very convenient to get to, but far enough off the road, you got some peace and quiet. Only got a couple neighbors out there. We don't want you throwing a rager, but plenty of parking, plenty of peace and quiet. You can just kind of get out there with the people you love the most and have a great time. Whether it's a family weekend, a college roommates weekend, or just a friends weekend, you can't beat the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, booking options are going to pop up. Airbnb, VRBO, you can go that route if you want to, or you can book through the Evolve website. Yeah, Evolve, and use promo code BSR10 to get 10% off your stay. That's BSR and the number 10 to get 10% off your stay. I'm telling you, you need to make some memories with the people you love the most. We talk about it all the time. We don't get together enough. And then when something bad happens, we always think to ourselves, man, we should have done this. Well, don't be that person. Go make some memories with the people you love. And incorporate Mississippi State and start going to that too. Maybe it's a staycation time, right? Just go hang out at Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You'll be glad you did. All right, let's take a quick look at Arkansas. I don't know. Like Arkansas, again, not expected to do a whole lot this year. It'll be interesting. It's always so interesting with Arkansas. Like the Sam Pittman experience has been pretty wild, right? Would we not agree? They love him up there, and I love him too. I think he's great. I would love to hang out with him. I don't know if I want him coaching my football team, but he's great. And I'd say talking to recruits, they really like him too. But they went 7-6 last year, and I wondered if 6-6 was going to be enough to keep him. I will confess, I did not think 6 wins would be enough. And I think maybe the way that college sports has changed a little bit, maybe you're looking for reasons to keep people rather than get rid of people because it can be very expensive. They open up pasting Arkansas Pine Bluff down in Little Rock 70-0. They go on the road and play Oklahoma State, get beaten double overtime 39-31, and that was a great game. I remember DVR in that game. I think I watched like on a Tuesday afternoon or something. It was great. I knew who won, but I still was absolutely engrossed in the game. They get by UAB 37-27. Much more competitive game than people thought. UAB had a chance. If memory serves me correct, Arkansas had like a scoop and score to get some separation in this game. But that's when people begin to kind of wonder, right? Is this thing going to be okay? Well, then they go to Auburn, and they win at Auburn. It's tough to go win at Jordan-Hare. It is. Even under the best of circumstances. It's a very passionate fan base. They always pack it out. It's a tough environment. Especially when things are rocking. This was an afternoon game. Arkansas gets the dub 24-14. And then you think, okay, maybe they righted the ship. One of my favorite games on the SEC schedule is the Arkansas A&M game at Arlington. It never disappoints. It was a classic again this year. A&M wins it, though, 21-17. And then somehow, some way, just when you think Sam has got his back against the wall, they beat Tennessee, and they made it an ugly game. They did. They made Tennessee play their game. And, of course, at the time, Tennessee was ranked fourth in the country. And a lot of people thought, well, this is it. You know, Tennessee's not going to make the playoff. Well, they did. But that's a loss that was almost inexplicable. But Arkansas wins, and that's what Sam does. Sam makes you play his game. Because they don't want to get in a shootout. I mean, of course, they ran it well against us. But they're not going to win a lot of shootouts. They need these dirty, run it out in the trenches. Because he's an offensive lineman at heart. And they get Tennessee. And then you get LSU. And you get absolutely pasted at home 34-10. And you know, the concern kind of popped up is about offensively. You know, they're not scoring many points. Certainly against SEC opponents. And then they head to Starkville, Mississippi, and they put up 58 on us. I beat us 58-25. That was not a fun game at all. I barely have any memories of that game because I've done my best to block it out. And then you think, okay, well, maybe they got it figured out. No, then they go and play Ole Miss in Fayetteville. And Arkansas's had a lot of success against Ole Miss at home. The Rebels put up 63 and beat them 63-31. That is an ungodly SEC score. It is. They host Texas and, again, kind of make it their game. Just didn't have enough talent to pull it off. The Longhorns win 20-10. Louisiana Tech, you knew it might be kind of a dicey game. They win it 35-14, and then they go to Missouri and lose 28-21. So you end the regular season 6-6 again. And then you beat Texas Tech in the Liberty Bowl 39-26. And so you end the year on a winning note. You get the bowl game. You head in the offseason. Nobody's going to fire you. Things are great. Let's take a look at this year's schedule. Then we'll kind of look at the kind of what the team is made of. And with the portal, man, so much changes. They're going to open up August 30th against Alabama A&M. And then the rare meeting with Arkansas State. I don't know if you guys know, it's kind of like Ole Miss refusing to play Southern. You know what I'm saying? Arkansas and Arkansas State just don't play very often. And certainly in football. I mean, it's just one of those things you would think, being neighbors, it makes a lot of sense. And let's be honest about this. There's never going to be a kid that's going to choose Arkansas State over Arkansas because of a football game. So this will be the first ever meeting on the football field between Arkansas and Arkansas State. And they're going to play it down in Little Rock. Crazy, man. After that, they'll make the trip to Oxford. It's going to be a night game. Could be interesting. And Ole Miss traditionally hasn't been Arkansas has not been a great matchup for Ole Miss because Arkansas wants to run. But last year, Ole Miss had bodies up front to kind of combat the ground game. Then they go to Memphis. And then it's Notre Dame. That's a pretty interesting stretch right there, right? You get the craziness of the first ever meeting against the Red Wolves of Arkansas State. You better win that game. Then you're at Ole Miss, at Memphis, who I think is going to be a pretty solid G5 team. And then you got to go to Notre Dame. Then you get the open date before you travel to Knoxville. And then A&M comes to Fayetteville, Auburn comes to Fayetteville, and Mississippi State comes to Fayetteville. So that stretch right there will likely define the season. How they do against A&M, Auburn, Mississippi State. And again, I kind of like where we lie on the schedule, even though there's an open date after us, the second open date's after us. But that's going to be three very emotional and physical games ahead of ours. So they play a physical brand of football, and having to play football that many weeks in a row could be interesting. After the open date, they travel to LSU, and it seems like every time Arkansas goes down to LSU, they play some game in the teens. Weird. Then they go to Texas, and then Missouri comes to Fayetteville. And Eli Drinkwitz and those guys have kind of been a fly in the ointment at times for Arkansas. Kind of looking at last year's numbers. And it's always so interesting to go back and kind of look in hindsight to kind of see how this thing kind of played out. It's pretty interesting to me to think you kind of know what Arkansas is going to do, and they're not especially skilled, right? I don't think anybody looks at Arkansas and says, you know what, at the skill positions, they're a very difficult team to deal with. They really aren't. They just kind of line up, get behind that offensive line, and go after you a little bit. And they have a committee of running backs. And it's not fancy. They just do what they do. But it's interesting to see, you know, kind of how, no matter what they do, and it's like, you know, I guess as Lou Holtz said, you know, you do what you do and you execute it better than everybody else. Leach kind of lived by that same philosophy. We're going to be better at what we do. Taylen Green, obviously kind of a breakout year for him last year. He had a huge game against Mississippi State. Threw for 3,154 yards. A lot of people said he was an athlete playing quarterback. No, he is a quarterback that is a true athlete. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, man. That guy can get it done, certainly. And you got to account for him in a running game, too. You have to. Ran for 354 yards, just enough to kind of keep you honest, average 5 yards a carry. But Yeah, we'll see. Jaquindon Jackson obviously was a guy that they were expecting some big things from last year, got banged up, and then ends up going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know. So, played a lot, very physical brand of football, 15 touchdowns. Taylen Green, we talked about him. Braylon Russell's the running back that kind of ran over us as a freshman. Jaquindon didn't play against us. Braylon Russell ran all over us. And then DeBinion's another guy that feels like he's been there forever. Most people that are in college, as long as Rashad DeBinion, are doctors. Pretty incredible stuff. Andrew Armstrong, really good receiver last year, 1,140 yards. Now with the Miami Dolphins. That was absolutely legit. So they got to kind of, you know, rebuild this. And, of course, Satania goes in the portal. So it's going to be kind of a rebuilt wide receiver room, the passing game itself. But defensively, you know, they've got some pieces back. You know, we'll see how it all kind of shakes loose. But I don't – it's like it's all the same. As John Bon Jovi said, only the names have changed. They're going to run what they run. I don't think there's any – there's no secret to what they want to do. They want to play good defense, some bend but don't break stuff. They'll get after you a little bit at times. But they're a team that was kind of turnover prone last year too. But what they want to do is control time of possession. They want to shorten the game on you a little bit like Belima did when he was there. But, you know, they were a team sometimes that shot themselves in the foot. Yeah, it's like, and I remember there's been so many guys that have played on that defensive line. It feels like they have been there forever and a day. You know, they lose Patrick Kutis to Ole Miss, and that was a guy too out of Memphis that we chased a little bit. They go get an offensive tackle, Corey Robinson, that will likely be kind of the blindside protector. See how it goes, but yeah, it's an interesting schedule for them too. And again, I think adding Notre Dame as a non-conference game, I know that's a bucket list for everybody. And I don't know how long ago that they've kind of made these schedules out. But if you're a guy that's looking to – if you're coaching for your job, I don't know if you want Notre Dame on the schedule. That's just me. But you know, a lot of people see them about a 500, and you know, people are going to expect them to beat us for sure. But you know, kind of breaking down the schedule again, you know, looking at this thing – as objectively as we can as Mississippi State people. And that's difficult at times, right? And I think everybody would agree with that. It's difficult to be objective about your team and about a team that maybe you think that you should beat. Well, you know, they should absolutely just, you know, run boat race Alabama, A&M, and Arkansas State. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. So you're 2-0 going to Ole Miss. I think that's a toss-up game, even though it's at Ole Miss. But for the sake of conversation, let's give Ole Miss the advantage. And Arkansas should win at Memphis, especially if they can play their game. But I won't be surprised if they drop one of those two road games. But let's just say that you're 3-1 with Notre Dame coming in. I think Notre Dame gets them. That makes you 3-2. You got to go to Tennessee, who you beat last year. You won't sneak up on them this year. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. And I think that's going to make you, was it 3-3? Yeah, 3-3 at that point. And then you're going, you got A&M coming in. That's a toss-up game. We'll see how that goes. Neutral side game. You got Auburn. Let's say you lose to A&M, beat Auburn. You're 4-4 when Mississippi State comes to town. You're playing for your job. And then after that Mississippi State game, at LSU, at Texas, that's two losses, in my opinion, right now. And so, yeah, I mean, you look at this thing, and Missouri coming in there. Missouri's had some success against Arkansas. I think it's a 5-7, 6-6 year, and I think in many respects the state game may be the swing game. You know, we went in there a couple years ago, and they acted like it was their Super Bowl and wore these special helmets, and we missed three field goals in the game, had no business losing that game, but we did. And it kind of turned them around a little bit. And they really emphasize that game. There's a lot of people in Northwest Arkansas that think they should never lose to State or Ole Miss in any sport, but they do with regularity. So, again, I think this is a game that we can win, but I think it's probably a game that we're going to have to get a little help from them. And with their ability and, you know, proclivity to turn over the football, you got to make that matter. And I think one of the biggest games that kind of exposed our weaknesses last year was the Arkansas game. We absolutely could not stop them. And then when we commit more people to the box, they make plays. When we covered on the back end, Taylor Green beat us with his feet. You know, it was just an offense that matched up perfectly with our weaknesses, and we were just kind of powerless to stop them. I mean, it was as ugly a game as I have ever attended. It wasn't like playing number one LSU or number one Alabama. I mean, you're playing a team that was really struggling offensively, and they put up 58 points. Absolutely ridiculous. And I had a friend of mine tell me that even like after that Bobby Petrino went and watched film, and he said that they were going to kill us. And they did. So, you know, we got to get up for that game, but we also got to have some absolute backwoods revival type meetings with the defense. And last year, their offensive line just kind of beat us up. And then it kept running that kid over and over and over again. And we just couldn't slow him down because we just didn't have anything up front. So we've committed so many resources to the defensive line and the portal. This is the game that's got to show up. It's got to show up in every game, but this is the matchup that we were really exploited last year. And so that's your Arkansas preview. And we'll get back on Wednesday. We'll look down the road to the next one. You know, and we're working our way through this. And we're about 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks from the start of fall camp. We have a basketball media availability this week, SEC Media Days this week. There's a lot going on around Mississippi State sports. And so Dave Murray is going to be out there for you at the SEC Media Days. And we'll have coverage of the basketball media opportunity as well. And hopefully we'll be able to get a hold of Brian O'Connor at some point, talk a little bit about his feelings post-draft. I'm sure he's sleeping well tonight, as I will after a long day. But you can only begin to imagine these coaches, their livelihood is tied to this. And so it's very important for them. It's not just, well, it'll all work itself out. You know, they're on the phone too. And that's one thing I've learned about college coaches. They don't try to talk guys out of going pro. They just don't. They tell them the benefits of coming back, but they don't say, hey, you shouldn't do this. Hey, if you haven't done so, go to DirtyNobleBook.com. You can get all my sports titles there, not just The Dude that is number 3 on the bestseller list right now. How cool is that? All these months later. Book came out in October. Here we are in July. It's still on the Mississippi bestsellers list. So thank you very much for that. Thank you very much. But yeah, you can get signed copies of The Dude, Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, and my personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls, which sounds so crazy that I have one of those. But I do. And again, signed copies. And I'll be at Rotary next Monday for you Stark Villains. But in addition to that, come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Stark. Well, it's been a busy summer for us, too, and we're very grateful for that. So thank you guys so much. A lot of positive reviews, too. We certainly appreciate your support. If you're a person that suffers with chronic anxiety or pain, or maybe you just need a break, we may be able to help you. Come by and check us out. You can get a tour if we're not busy, which is rare. But you can get more information at TrueRest.com. Follow us on all forms of social media at TrueRest Float Spa of Starkville. Or you can call my wife, Dana, at 662-268-7601 to answer any questions you may have. She's a registered nurse, so she's a little more informed about medical issues than most people would be. And she's also super cool. Super cool. That's why I married her. And then come join us over at jeanspage.com. It's been quite a busy stretch for us. We've had to grind it out a little bit in July with no press conferences and ball games and things like that. But, you know, you've had the draft, you've had the portal and things of that nature. So, you know, we do our best to keep you. We don't take vacation. You know, we just don't do that. You know, I mean, I don't know what that is anymore. You know, when you run a business, you do what you got to do. But, yeah, we do over 10 stories a day, every single day, even when there's no games being played. You know, there's always a recruit we can call. There's always a personnel group we can profile. There's always some draft coverage we can do. And so there is something we can do for you every single day. We make a lot of our content free. So even if you're not a subscriber, you can come and read our free content. We distribute most of that out on social anyway. But you can always come check it out and see if it's what you want. You know, right? If you want more in-depth coverage, we encourage you to subscribe. But let's get out of here. Be back on Wednesday. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.